So let's begin. I'm going to share my screen with you, and we are going to begin with God's greeting and a call to worship. This greeting, where God greets his people, is from Revelation 1, verse 4. Grace and peace to you from the one who is and who was and who is coming. We serve a great and a great big God. And this great big God this morning greets you. I hope you receive that. Now, let's join in our call to worship. I will read both parts, but I will invite you to respond by reading the all along with me. This is from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sap, as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Amen. So, let's go to musical worship.
Over Lil Summer.
Let's move into our time of congregational prayer then. Just before we do, I want to let you know about a couple of new things related to family life that I will be praying for. One is that right after our service on Sunday last week, Terry Hain let me know that his dad had just passed away that weekend. And so we've been praying for him this week. That prayer request went up to our prayer chain right afterwards, but I wanted to let you know. It's a little easier to hear news like that before the person's actually praying. And so I wanted to let you know about that, that we're thinking of the Haynes this week and praying for them. And then also I got a prayer request this morning from the Cartwrights that Don's cousin is in the hospital. He just recently had an aneurysm and has had surgery, and he is now recovering, but has a long way to go. And so the Cartwrights are remembering him. And so we are going to pray for him this morning as well as part of our congregational prayer. So let's pray together. Lord, thanks for this time to be together. Technology doesn't always work the way that we want. It reminds us sometimes of how much we are not in control. And we've been reminded of that many ways over these last number of weeks during this pandemic. But even coming together once again, week after week, has provided some normalcy for us. And so I say thank you for that. It's been good to come together and present ourselves to you and hear from you. And Lord, we want to say thank you for that and ask you to be here during this whole time. Lord, you've been walking with us through some very strange times recently. You know, you have seen us go through loneliness. You have seen us wrestle with uncertainty and worry. Or you have seen us in situations where there are a number of different increasing pressures in our lives. You've seen some of us deal with boredom and others deal with just heightened family challenges that come with being together for so long with so few outlets. You've seen frustration, you've seen anger, you've seen sadness. And our lives are in your hands. And we offer our lives to you. We pray that you would teach us to react well during difficult times, to follow Jesus' example in the way that he reacted to his difficult times, coming to focus on you and saying, not my will, but yours be done. So we pray that yours would be done. We pray that you would teach us to humble ourselves before you during this time and make this a time that is still about you and not about us. We can sometimes, our worlds can narrow down to our living rooms, but it goes far beyond that. And I pray that you would make us aware of that and remember that you are the one that this whole story is about. We pray that we would honor you with the way that we act within that story. Lord, we pray for all of our frontline workers, those who are working so hard to keep people safe and to care for one another. We pray for your protection for them, especially for those who are part of our congregation, our church family. We pray for our leaders who have to make such difficult decisions, having never been through something like this before. Lord, we pray for the citizens. Lord, help us to learn to love our neighbors well and to make wise decisions that love our neighbors well during this time. But Lord, we think beyond ourselves here in Alberta. We think of those in Nova Scotia who are grieving. We pray that you would grieve and support alongside them. We pray for those who have recently been evacuated from up north where there have been floods. We pray for you to come alongside them as well, to provide what they need. And I pray that the floodwaters would continue going down and that they could soon return and that you would help them as they repair and rebuild and cope during now having to deal with floods in addition to the pandemic. Lord, we pray for the Haynes. This is a terrible time. It is always a terrible time to lose someone that you love. And this seems like it has just complicated it further during this crisis where it's so difficult to visit one another and support as you want to and feel you need to because of physical distancing. And so, Lord, I pray that where human support always falls short, I pray that you would make up the difference and more, that you would be the source of support for the Haines these days, that you would lift them up and comfort them as they're grieving. I pray as well for the Cartwright family and especially for Don's cousin Derek, that you would provide what he needs and that he would soon be returned to full health, and that throughout this crisis in his own life, that he would meet you, that he would see you as being the one who was walking with him through this time and providing what he needs, and help their family as they try to figure out how to support him at a distance. Lord, we should also remember that although we have named many difficult things, there are many, many good things that we have seen. Lord, we celebrate the birth of Henry Cart. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of chaos, you have produced life, and that that life brings joy both to you and to others. I pray that that would continue, and that you would bless them in their new family developments. Lord, we have to say thank you because in many ways we have been enjoying a simpler life, and although there have been sacrifices, there have been gains as well. Help us to remember those and to cherish them and to lean into them and to say thank you for them. Lord, we're exploring new ways to connect right now. I thank you for that. I thank you for the beauty of springtime and that as we've been dealing with pandemic at the same time, we have been able to get outside more and are enjoying it perhaps more than ever before. So I say thank you for the coming of spring. I pray that you would bring spring and new life metaphorically to your people at the same time. Lord, may this be a time in which we renew our focus on you as the one who can help in all things, because you care about all things. Do care for your people. Lord, bless your people and make us the blessing that you intend your people to be for the sake of your world, your creation, and ultimately your worship. We pray that we would be people who honor you by our actions. Lord, we are now going to open your word during this time with the children and then in reflection. And I pray that as we open your word, that you would give us soft hearts and sharp ears and clear minds and good reflexes to embrace and live what it is that you are saying to us. In your name I pray. Amen. Now pass it over to Kristen.
Good morning, friends. I hope you're well. I'm going to do a little fix of my camera here. Maybe you want to come a little bit closer so that you can see the pictures and the things on the screen today. Let's talk a little bit about trumpets. I only know one amazing teenager at Unity that plays the trumpet. It's not an instrument we hear a lot these days, but in the Old Testament, the trumpet was used as a signal. It was used to bring people in, to have them gather. Now, if you're a football fan, maybe this is a picture you'll recognize. This is a vuvuzela. And when it's played, football fans know there's going to be a soccer match or a football match. It signals that something is going to happen. Take a listen. Thanks, Marco. Maybe you're not saying thanks this morning. Maybe you thought that your house was swarmed by mosquitoes. or by a constant B flat. It's a different kind of noise, isn't it? But in the story that you'll read this week in the book of Joshua, God commanded the priests to do something special and specific with trumpets, like the vuvuzela. It was a really odd battle plan. It was a really odd thing for God to say to Joshua. But Joshua followed, and he gathered the army together with their swords and their spears, their shields, and their trumpet. They were ready to fight. But it wasn't about really fighting. It was about trusting and doing what God said. Like I said, it wasn't about the trumpets that fought the battle. It wasn't people shouting that fought the battle or won the battle. It was God. So as you read the story this week in Joshua chapters 2, 3, 4, and 6, there's four little words that I want you to keep track of. And these are the four words. So the Lord was. They're little words, but in these book, in these chapters, they're mentioned a lot. When everything looks like it's over for God's people, when there are big giants and scary walls, and it seems like there's no hope, so the Lord was. God does something amazing, and he turns it around. Help is on the way. Before I say goodbye for this week, can you help me with the big picture question, kids? Whom can we trust? Your turn. Whom can we trust? We can trust God. Your turn. We can trust God. Until I see you next time, I hope you're well. Talk soon.
Thanks, Kristen. That whom can we trust and who are we looking to for help comes up in Joel. And so would you grab your Bibles and go to the book of Joel? It's small and hard to find, so I would suggest you use your table of contents at the beginning. How many times have you heard and used the word unprecedented in the last number of weeks? It's just coming up in conversation all the time. We're constantly feeling like this is an unprecedented thing. And in many ways, we're right to use that term, right? This has not been something that we have, we've gone through before ourselves. Like this hasn't been part of our living memory. And so it is an unprecedented time for us in that sense. It's strange. We don't have anything to compare this to. And yet at the same time, there, as many people have been reminding us as we look back in history, there's a whole lot of precedent. This is a highly precedented time for what we have been going through. And we need to look to those places in the past that remind us about what we have been through and what God has gone through with his people, that we are not the first people to be between a rock and a hard place. Within our collective memory, there have been a lot of people through history who have gone through this and have gone through it in the end well and with God. And that's the experience of the prophet Joel. Joel is very much caught between a rock and a hard place. Now, just to set Joel in a little bit of context, we don't know exactly when Joel was a prophet, but we're talking about a time after, you know, King David and King Solomon. The temple has been built. The prophets are ministering. Now, I don't know if this is before or after the exile. The book doesn't let us know, but the temple is around, and God's people worship him there. And so Joel is a prophet who needs to remind his people that they've forgotten something. So he's ministering, and during his ministry, they get caught between a rock and a hard place. You know, right now, that's one of the things that it seems like Alberta is facing right now, that we're not only facing a pandemic, but then also there's this talk about the coming financial crisis that's going to come along as a result of it afterwards. In a sense, we feel like we're caught between two things, this rock and the hard place, right? And Joel was caught between his own rock and hard place. So let me share my screen with you, and we'll take a look at the rock and the hard place that Joel was caught between. Joel was caught between a locust plague that devastated the land that had just happened, and an army that's on its way to take over the land. They're caught between a rock and a hard place. Both of these are devastating. Either one of them would be devastating by themselves. They are going to experience loss of food. Locusts eat everything. They eat all the crops, which means there's not only a loss of food, a food shortage and a food crisis coming up, but it means loss of income. Say they wanted to go get food from elsewhere and try to import it. They're going to have difficulty doing that because they're not going to have anything to produce to make money, to do their trade and so on. And there's going to be loss of life as a result of that, as a result of food shortages and all the rest. And then they're looking ahead, and Joel's warning them that an army is coming as well. And they're going to act much the same as the locust. They're going to destroy the fields. I don't think our vendor friends want 100,000 people walking through their field. That would just destroy the crops. Well, imagine 100,000 people who hate you walking through your field. They're not going to treat them like they're your treasured possession and something that provides you with livelihood, right? This is going to be an absolutely catastrophic and devastating thing for the people who are going to have to deal with this. They're caught between the rock and the hard place of locusts and army on their way. Two crises coming. So let me read Joel for you, just so you get a little bit of a sense of what's going on. So this is Joel 1, verses 1 to 4. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, O elders. Give ear, O inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children in another generation. Here's what they're going to tell them. What the cutting locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust has left, the hopping locust has eaten. What the hopping locust has left, the destroying locust has eaten. Their economy is about to collapse. There's going to be this food shortage coming, all because of this locust plague. And then this next picture of the army is coming in chapter 2. This is what chapter 2 says, starting at verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spreading over the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been seen in older times, nor again will anything like it come after them in ages to come. There's an army coming to devastate. And then down to chapter 6, or verse 6. Before this army, the peoples are in anguish. All their faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. Each creeps to its keeps to its own course. They don't swerve from their paths. They don't jostle one another. Each keeps to its own track. They burst through the weapons, and they are not halted. They leap upon the city. They run up the walls. They climb into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. This army is going to come and destroy everything. know, sometimes when bad things happen, or often when bad things happen, one of our first reactions is to ask, why did this happen? You know, what made this thing happen, whether it's a pandemic or something else? And sometimes there are reasons, and sometimes there aren't. Now, for Joel, there are reasons. Now, for us in the pandemic, we should be pretty careful about giving reasons for it. But these people in Joel shouldn't need to wonder why this is happening. Now, Joel doesn't outright come out and tell them. He expects them to know their scripture. And in their scriptures, in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 28 is absolutely explicit that if the people walk away from the covenant that they have made with Yahweh, their God, locust plagues are one of the things that they can expect to happen. They've wandered. So please remember we've talked about this over the last number of weeks, the people and God are in covenant together. And you have to think like covenant, like marriage. They are pledged to one another. They are not to go wandering off looking for anyone else. They have agreed that we are going to be faithful only to each other. But these people have wandered in spite of that agreement that they made with God, in spite of committing themselves to God, and in spite of the fact that God committed himself to them. And you know, I think about the lyric of that song that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I think we have to admit that we are people who wander. Now, don't you do this in simple ways? Don't you get halfway through your week sometimes and go, oh yeah, God, like I've just completely forgotten this week. My life has been crazy. I'm busy homeschooling the kids, or my work is now frantic because of what's happened. Whatever it is, there are just times where we go, oh yeah, we have just sort of naturally drifted away from God. We need to remind ourselves of who he is and come back to him. And then we wander from him in obviously more explicit ways. We go after things that we want and we say we don't care about God. Whatever it is, these people have wandered. Now, let me be very, very clear. I am not at all saying that this pandemic is a result of any people wandering away from God. Not at all. This is a different situation, so let's be absolutely clear about that. I am not saying we are going through this pandemic because any of us have sinned or because we have wandered. I'm not studying Joel here as a way of giving us an explanation for what we are going through. We are studying Joel here so that we can see how people respond well when going through difficult times. So we're not here to explain away our times. We should not be so proud that we think we can offer the explanation for why these things are happening. We are here simply to hear and to watch what people have done when rough times have hit them and how we can learn from it and react appropriately. So let's be really clear about that. Many people are asking, what is the Christian response to this crisis? And part of the Christian response to this crisis could be to ask, have we wandered? Not to explain it away, but simply using this as an opportunity to see where are we at with God. So I'll get into that more in a minute. These people are in a really tough place in Joel's day and age. And Joel says that here's God's message to you people who are wandering. Here it is. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Even now, the Lord says, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Tear your hearts, not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. God uses this time as an opportunity to get the people to say, to come back to him, to invite them to return. Did you notice all of the personal language in that text? God is compassionate, slow to anger. He wants to relent and so on. He is incredibly personal. We need to keep that in the forefront. Whenever we think about who God is, we remember that he is a personal God. I was chatting with one of you a couple of weeks ago. I won't share who it is. I don't have permission to share this story. But I was chatting with one of you a couple of weeks ago, and you know, this person was extroverted, and they were talking about how much during this pandemic they have missed just talking with random strangers. And you know, I can't relate to this, but this person could. You know, they were just so missing more all the people contact, including just standing in line and talking with random strangers, because they're personal. And you need to think that God is the kind of person who would talk to a random stranger in line. He is that personal. At the same time, keep in mind what we've been talking about related to covenant, that God is in special relationship with his people in a way that he isn't with other people. And our God is not only personal, like my friend talking in line with the strangers, but like my friend talking in line with the strangers, my friend is also married at the same time. And so although this person is personal, they're even more personal and more wanting that people contact with the person with whom they have committed themselves for life. And it's the same with God and God's people, that God's the kind of person who will talk to any random stranger, but at the same time, he is even more personal with the people who have committed themselves to him and the people that he has committed himself to. Please remember that, friends. You are extra, extra special to God. And it's that covenant that is always in the forefront of God's mind, and it should be in our mind as we think about who God is and our relationship to him, that we are bound together. We have committed ourselves to him, and he has committed himself to us. He is extra, extra personal. So I would like us now to go into small groups. We're going to break off, and we're going to take a few minutes, and I'd like you to discuss this question. Here it is. When you think about a relationship with God, do you think in terms of covenant? Do you think about this agreement, this sort of marriage-like thing that we have between ourselves and God? If so, if you do think in those terms, then share what that means to you. Share personally around your group. And if you don't think in those terms naturally, then you could share what images or ideas come to mind as you think about a relationship with God. So Marco's going to break us off into small groups. We'll take a couple minutes to discuss this and then come back. Welcome back. I hope that was you had something to chat about and that you were able to share and see one another. Because of the time, we're not going to be able to share some of the things that we heard or learned or thought about. But hopefully next week, if we're running a little more on schedule. God is extra personal with his people. As I said, they are in covenant together. And the problem is that these people in Joel's day have wandered, and God wants them to come back. And that always involves repentance, always. And if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense, right? If these people need God's help, they better first be in right relationship with God. Is your friend or your spouse not much more likely and willing to help you if you first apologize for the way that you've been treating them lately? If you've been ignoring the person that suddenly you need their help, you probably don't want that first conversation to be, "I need your help." So I think there's we probably do need to think in sort of simple terms like that. And in a sense, God knows when he's being used if we just come to him when we need something. So we should be coming to him because we are in covenant together, and because we want to enjoy the relationship that we have with each other. Now, I would like to suggest to you that the wandering away from God happens because we actually forget the kind of relationship that we have. We forget that we are in covenant. And the prophet's response is not only telling people to return to God, but twice, both with the locust plague and with the army coming, the prophet says, call a solemn assembly. You can read about it. Call a solemn assembly. We are going to fast. We are going to pray. We are going to return to the Lord, and we're going to call for his help. They're going to recommit themselves to God. They're going to recommit themselves and remind themselves that they are part of his covenant people. They have to ask themselves, have we been faithful to this covenant? And I think we need to do the same. If we're going to call on God's help during this pandemic, then one of the things that would be appropriate for us to do is to ask if we have won. Because if we need God's help, it would be the first thing that we need to do is to make sure that we are in right relationship. And so it's worth asking, have we wandered? Have we wandered at all? Not that, once again, not that wandering is the explanation for the pandemic. I'm not going down that road. I'm simply suggesting it is one prudent and thoughtful and faithful Christian response to the pandemic to say, we're in covenant relationship with this God. Have we been faithful to it? We need his help now. Let's make sure that we've been faithful to it. We have an extra personal God who longs for his people to return to him. And communion can be part of that. So we're going to transition to a time of communion now. In communion, we are calling a solemn assembly. We're calling on one another to come together and say, are we faithful to this covenant? So we are here to do this, to remember the one who was faithful to the covenant. That's Jesus. We're here to remember the one whose sacrifice makes a new covenant possible. We hear that language right in the words that we use when we talk about communion, when we introduce it Sunday after Sunday. This is the new covenant in my blood. That is the type of relationship. That's the foundation of our relationship with Jesus, is the fact that he puts us into this new covenant with him. So there is a sense, we are almost renewing our vows when we come to the table. I would like you to consider that. As we come to this table on a regular basis to remind ourselves of the relationship we have and what has made that possible. So we're here to renew our vows so that we don't forget who we are and so that we remember the one whom we follow and the one who has made this relationship possible. And we do this regularly so that we don't wander, so that we continually come back to who he is and what's made this possible. So in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul calls on the community to examine themselves before they come to the table. Now, the context of those verses talks about examining themselves with respect to whether or not they've been treating one another properly. But it would be worth extending that beyond that to say, have we been treating not only God's image bearers, but God himself properly? So I'm going to invite you to take a minute, and I'm going to count to 60 in my head, and we're going to offer silent prayers to God. We're going to remind ourselves of who he is. We're going to ask if we have wandered. We're going to offer confession. Then I will pray, and then we will transition to our time of communion. Indeed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone, Lord, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We admit that we are prone to wander, and we pray that you would forgive us. We come to this table to remember who you are. We're here to celebrate Jesus' faithfulness and his sacrifice on our behalf. Amen. So I hope you have your elements ready. I'm going to read the scripture passage, and then I'm going to pass it over to Bev, who's going to offer a prayer. For I received from the Lord what I also handed unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Pass it over to Bev.
Thank you for your words this morning, Ben. I'm here with my Bible in front of me, And I'm remembering that this Bible was given to me by my mother at a time when I was wandering. And in the very front of the Bible, she's written the inscription, read your Bible every day. Don't forget to God to pray, and you will never lose your way. And I've tried to remember that. And every time I pick up this Bible, I'm reminded that our response to wandering should be to come back to God. So this morning, let us pray as we give thanks for the bread. Dear God, thank you that you are a great God. You are big enough to take all of our sins and all of our griefs and all of our weaknesses. You gave your Son on the cross to die for us and to die for our sins. I thank you for that, God. There's nothing that we can do that could ever thank you enough for those things that you have given us and continue to give us. Your mercy and your grace abounds in this world. We live by your grace. Thank you for that. A simple thank you does not seem sufficient, Lord, and that's why we need to remember every day, every moment, every second, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. As we partake of this bread this morning, help us to continue to be thankful today and throughout our lives. In your name I pray, amen. Let us partake of the bread together.
Thanks, Bev. The passage goes on. In the same way, Jesus took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Pass it over to Carlisle.
Thank you, Ben. Dear God, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. We thank you that you shed your blood to bring us into new covenant with you. We thank you that you did this when there was nothing we could offer you of anywhere near equal value. We thank you by your grace and your mercy that you've brought us into relationship with you, into covenant with you, that we can stand confidently before you. God, in view of that, help us to give ourselves back to you as living sacrifices. And when we stray, that we would come humbly before you. I thank you for all the times you've forgiven me and brought me back to yourself. I pray that we would take this cup today in remembrance of you and in new commitment to you, to live our days to say thank you for the sacrifice you've given to us. Let's take the cup together.
Thanks, Carlisle. Marco and I think we may be able to try the other song. So once again, we're going to experiment and see if this works and respond to God with another form of worship. So let's try this again.
Glory died.
As I said, at one point, we are going to continue evaluating every part of these services, and that includes the musical worship. When we sign off, I'm probably going to be self-conscious the rest of the day, but the fact that apparently you guys were watching me sing while nothing was happening on your screens at one point, but I think that we got it to work the second time, and so we'll experiment with it for a couple of weeks, and then our up team and our council will evaluate. And we would, of course, love to hear from you about, how you are finding the services and so on. So please feel free to share your feedback as well. And we want to hear more about, what's on your heart these days as we think more about what a good Christian response to the pandemic is. And so council's asked for that. I've asked for that. I continue to want to hear from you about as we look ahead, how do we be the church corporately and respond and serve our neighbors as well? So if that's been on your heart, please get in touch with us. We want to hear from you. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit carry you through this week. Thanks for being with us, guys. See you later. Go in peace.